of heaven and earth. Amen. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Now, as we already spoke about, the fact is that the tare, the wheat, resembles the wheat very closely in the early stages of growth, in such a way that it is virtually indistinguishable from the wheat. And it is also important to separate the tares from the wheat, because the seeds of the tares are, as mentioned before, poisonous. But this cannot be done until harvest time. And part of the reason for that is, as we also spoke about, that these roots of the tares spread out very widely. And so it is that in the internal sense, this parable describes a very essential aspect of man's regeneration. The field is the mind, and the wheat or the seed are the remains of good and truth, which are the means through which man can be led to salvation. And the wicked one, on the other hand, is our evil heredity. And we can say that the tares are the actual evils and falsities that spring from that hereditary will. And in the parable, the tares are sown after the wheat is sown. And it is said that the wicked one sows it while man sleeps. And this is according to the appearance, namely, we may say the sleep is a state of the ignorance of innocence in infancy. And it is only as that state recedes that the evil inclination begins to crop up. Evil inclinations which seemingly were not there before, although the fact is, of course, they were there all the time. It is as though we may say that these tares of hereditary evil were just sown. The fact is that man's regeneration is a miracle. But unlike the miracles the Lord performed here on earth, this is a miracle that is not done in a moment. It is a long and gradual process, and it is one we are taught that is rarely completed here during our life here on earth, and that the successive changes are almost imperceptible. The fact is that there cannot be any instant salvation. We are taught that if the Lord removed all the evils and falsities in an instant, then we would perish. Simply because the life of the unregenerate man is intimately connected with the proprium or our hereditary will. And if this is taken away suddenly, then it means that life itself would be taken away and the remains destroyed. Just as the wheat would be harmed if the tares were taken away before the harvest time. It is as we also taught in the Arcana Celestia, where it says that man cannot live without communication with the hells through spirits from them. For the whole of his life, which he derives from his parents by inheritance, and all that he himself adds from his own, is of the love of self and of the love of the world, and not of the love of the neighbor, and still less of the love of God. What we need to think about is that there are evils and falsities of many kinds and degrees. Some are so grave that they are utterly devastating, and others are of a milder nature, and they can coexist and mingle with related goods and truths, just as the tares could grow together with the wheat. And these evils and falsities the Lord permits to exist in the mind of man, of the regenerating man, for the sake of his salvation, for the sake of his freedom. Perhaps one example of such a milder evil is ambition. It is in itself an evil love, because it is a love that desires to be greater than others, to be admired, indeed to dominate others. And this love must ultimately yield to its good counterpart, namely the love of use. And yet, if this ambition is taken away too soon, then it will not be able to be transformed into the love of use. Or we can also say that there's such a thing as the desire for merit and reward. It is something that comes from the hereditary will, and it is opposed to true angelic love. But it is, on the other hand, also the first incentive to worship and obey the Lord. And we also taught, for example, that longing for a pleasant and enjoyable life in heaven, and at the same time also the fear of punishment in hell, is something that has in it an element of selfishness. And yet at the same time it also serves to turn man away from the things of the world and to that which is eternal and divine. Or there's the pride of self-intelligence, which is in itself an evil desire to surpass others in learning and wisdom. And yet it is used by the Lord to initiate man into the truths by means of which he can be reformed. So all these, and indeed many others, can and do remain with the regenerating man without causing serious damage, as long as they do not become completely dominant in his mind. They are what are also called mediate goods, not good in themselves, but nevertheless stepping stones by means of which we can cross from hell into heaven. So the parable does not teach us not to worry, because these evils ultimately must be subdued and controlled. But there is in this parable also a message of comfort and encouragement. For just as the servants were upset and bewildered when they saw the tares in the field and wanted to uproot them at once, then we often are also upset and bewildered when all our efforts to study the word and live according to it seem in vain, when our understanding is veiled in obscurity, and all our weaknesses and evil inclinations keep cropping up as persistent as these noxious weeds. And then it is that we often behold with impatience and anxiety our state, and then in a state that is so characteristic of the unregenerate man, we begin to wonder and worry if the Lord in his omnipotence could not take these things away right away. We worry about the lack of signs of any improvement or progress, and that this often leads us into a sense of failure and guilt. And it is in such moments of disappointment and anxiety and dejection that we must remember the teaching of this parable, namely that if we sincerely seek the truth in the Word, if we never stop trying to order our life in accordance with it, regardless of the obstacles and failures, then the day will come when these evils will be removed, when we will enjoy a golden harvest of eternal peace and joy. Amen. now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion